Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with Mark Zacri. He has written and produced hundreds of hours of series of TVs, pilots, and feature films for most of the major studios and networks. Mark has just founded Space Command Studios, a production company based in Los Angeles and London dedicated to making TV series and films that are socially relevant and inspiring. Among the many projects currently in preparation and pre-prep or post, he and his wife Elaine are writing, directing, producing Space Command, that epic science fiction series, and their Showrunners Network, a slate of 6 TV series co-created with some of the top creative showrunners working in television today. His latest book is called Greenlighting Yourself. He's also written The Twilight Zone Companion. Mark, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, George, and it's great to be on the show. It's great to hear your wonderful voice.
5 months of a writer's strike is over.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Are the writers happy with the deal?
Yes, yes, they are, and... But I mean, what a science fiction world we live in, where one of the issues was, you know, AI writing movie and TV scripts. I mean, you know, that if Rod Serling were here, he would certainly be writing about that, no doubt. Though he did write about it back on The Twilight Zone, about computers taking over and robots taking over. So he would be no stranger to this idea.
How come this thing lasted so long?
Well, you know, there's these big companies that own the studios, the networks. There's only a few of them, and they're big monoliths. And so I think they wanted to wear the writers down a little, kind of have them exhaust their savings a bit. Fortunately, you know, Elaine and I were just fine, and it wasn't, you know, I mean, I've been through many strikes before, but I'm really glad it came to a resolution and that the writers got what they needed. So it's really the right solution.
Well, that's good. Did your Space Command show continue to produce, or did you have to put that on hold?
No. We're, interestingly enough, as well as being in the Writers Guild, we're also SAG signatory, because we hire actors who are in the union, of course. And SAG gave us a waiver where we could continue shooting, because we were a small independent company that had a long-term relationship with them. They were mainly just striking the big networks and studios. Those are sort of the guys with all the big bags of money.
Are you bullish on Hollywood, Mark? Do you think things are going the right way now?
Well, you know, I think the moment an artificial intelligence writes a hit movie, that's going to be very problematic, you know. But basically, I mean, you know, I'm living the dream, George. I'm writing and directing and producing this wonderful space-going show. It was my dream since I was 10 years old and went on Star Trek set when I was a kid. And so for me, I'm able to create what I want to create and work with people I want to work with. So I'm certainly happy. And I can reach a vast audience, millions of people, via my YouTube channel. So it's pretty wonderful.
Great. We'll talk about the YouTube channel in a second and Space Command.
Yeah.
But tell us about Greenlighting Yourself, the book you wrote last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I started in the industry, when I sold my first short story when I was 19 and was writing for TV by the time I was 22 or 23, writing the Twilight Zone book start when I was 21. And back then, the only way you could reach a mass audience was through the studios and the networks if you wanted to work in TV or film. Well, now that's completely different. Now, if you just have a YouTube channel and you crowdfund on Kickstarter and, you know, you have the internet and all of that, it's a totally different world. And I run a roundtable where I mentor a lot of young people in the industry. And they were so frustrated. They were saying, well, the studios and the networks won't let me have my dream. And I said, science fiction never predicted that everyone would have a video camera in their pocket. And so I wanted to share with them what I've learned, which is the new way of doing TV. I mean, my fans have given me over $4 million to shoot Space Command, open my own studio. And I wanted to share that with everyone who wanted a career in film or TV or even books and say it's not a mystery. It's like a cookbook. like they say in To Serve Man, it's a cookbook.
And, yeah, that's right.
And so it's really wonderful to be able to, and it's not just my story of how to break in and have a thriving career. I also talk to a lot of my friends who run a lot of the different TV shows and found their stories as well that were very, like Guillermo del Toro and Ray Bradbury. Some of the things Ray told me, you know, he was a dear friend of, and we were both huge fans of his, you and I. And, yeah. And so there were stories that Ray told me about how he broke in and built his career. And I thought that would be of use to the aspiring writers and directors and actors.
I've still got his letter that he sent me on my bulletin board back in Los Angeles when we wrote that editorial about his I Sing the Body Electric. One of his classic Twilight Zones.
Yeah, a wonderful guy.
Are science fiction minds the same as they were years ago, or are they different?
They're different. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the reasons I did Space Command was because I wanted to write something that would inspire me, like the original Star Trek and Twilight Zone and Outer Limits inspired me when I was a kid. You know, I wanted something that would inspire the audience and say we have a future worth living in. I think a lot of the writers now, they're tending to look inward rather than toward the stars. You know, Ray Bradbury and Robert Heinlein and Arthur C. Clarke and Isaac Asimov, they were visionaries. And when I was growing up, the space program was hand in glove with the science fiction writers. And so it really felt like there were limitless possibilities. And, I still believe in that. But a lot of my friends who write science fiction sort of have much darker visions. And I don't think that's necessarily helpful, when you're sending a message to the audience. You don't want to say, well, there's no hope, because then there's nothing they can do with that other than curl in a ball and moan softly. Whereas if you say, yes, we can reach across boundaries and barriers, if we come with a good heart and compassion, we can create a future worth living in. And that's always been the message of what I've been up to.
What got you to fall in love with the Twilight Zone, Mark?
Oh, my God. What's not to love? You know, I mean, George,
it's such an
amazing show. You know, I produced the Twilight Zone Blu-ray set, and I was able to do 52 audio commentaries on the episodes. And to sit down with those directors and those actors and those writers and the producers and just study these episodes. They're just jewels, you know, and you can watch them over and over and over again because they're deeply human and deeply, I mean, Rod Serling had such insight into the human heart, and he and the other writers told such great stories. You know, Kick the Can by George Clayton Johnson is such a wonderful episode. So many of them are. And you just, they're gorgeously acted and written and directed and shot, the music by people like Bernard Herrmann and Jerry Goldsmith, who became, you know, who were the great movie composers. They're composing for Twilight Zone because the scripts were so good. That's what got everyone else of quality to come aboard, because Rod was such an amazing writer.
Now, Rod oversaw everything. What percent of the shows did he write?
there were 156 episodes total over a five-year period, and he wrote 92 of them himself.
Wow.
A huge number. And he was also writing things like 7 Days in May, the movie, during this period. So it's just an amazing output. But he would dictate his scripts. He would lie by the swimming pool back of his house and speak into a recorder, and then his secretary would type up the scripts and make little hand corrections. And so he could write very, very fast, but just amazing, amazing range and depth. I mean, week after week, pouring out these phenomenal scripts. No one has ever equaled that output ever.
Did it take him a while to sell The Twilight Zone?
Yeah, it did. Interestingly enough, he never really wanted to be a science fiction writer. That wasn't his ambition. But when he was the big dramatist of television in the 50s, but every time he tried to write about race or social issues or politics, the censors wouldn't let him. The notes would render the script meaningless, at least to him. And so even though he's the highest paid writer in television, he wanted something where he could slip these messages about humanity through, and the censors wouldn't notice it. And he realized if he wrote science fiction, that he could get past the censors, which worked perfectly. But he wrote 4 pilots for Twilight Zone before the final one got the series greenlit. He was just not going to say, he wasn't going to stop. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. And thank God for all of us, because Twilight Zone is such a masterpiece of his creation. I mean, all the things he wrote in the 50s were very good, Requiem for a Heavyweight and so forth, but they wouldn't have established him the way Twilight Zone did. So it was a blessing for both Rod and for the public, of course.
Whose idea was it to do it as an anthology with him as the host?
Well, the funny thing was, he always envisioned it as an anthology. During the 50s, when he sort of grew up in television as a writer, there were a lot of anthology shows, and so he was very comfortable with the half-hour form, and he liked that sort of television short story. But he wasn't intended to be the host at all. Originally, the original pilot was a guy that was narrated by a guy named Westbrook von Voorhees, who had done the March of Time, and it had this big booming voice. And when they looked at the pilot, it was really not appropriate to Twilight Zone. In fact, on the box set of the Twilight Zone box set I produced, they have that alternate version of the pilot. Where is everybody with that narration? But then they wanted Orson Welles, and he was too expensive, and they just didn't know who to hire. And finally, Rod said, "Well, how about me?" And everyone just laughed at him, and they fell out of their chairs. But they had no other choice, really, so they tried it. And, of course, he was the perfect choice. It became a second career for him as a narrator and host.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Is Hollywood coming up with these great theme songs that we had for all the shows in those days? I mean, we remember the Twilight Zone theme. We remember Bonanza. Yeah. All these great shows had a theme tied to it. I don't hear that anymore.
No. There was this great period from like the late 50s through the 60s where you have these kind of real jazzy scores, really interesting scores. And on all sorts of shows, The Fugitive, you name it. I mean, and Outer Limits had amazing music, too. There was just a talent pool, and they were willing to do things very experimentally. I mean, even if you look at Bernard Herrmann's scores for Twilight Zone, he would try out things with that small little orchestra, and then you'd see him fully exploring those same themes in the features he was doing. So this would almost be like a composer's sketch pad. And so these were really wonderful composers, and I love those themes. When I was a kid, I actually recorded a whole bunch of TV themes on a cassette just to listen to them over and over and over again. And it was really fun, really, really fun.
That's great. How did you get interested in the Twilight Zone? What was it that sparked your interest?
Well, I was always sort of a science fiction kid, you know, from when I was little. And Twilight Zone, it was syndicated in the afternoons here in Los Angeles. Five days a week. And so I lived around the corner from my elementary school. So I would come home and turn on the TV and there it would be. And they were just wonderful. I mean, all of the kids watched Twilight Zone. We all knew those stories and we'd share them with each other and around the campfire, as it were. And they were just, you know, the great thing about Twilight Zone is, you know, you can be a kid, you can be an adult, you can be a man, you can be a woman, you can be any background at all. And those stories will still resonate. They'll still pack a punch, you know, and they hold up. I mean, it's amazing. I'm to this day, I'm talking to young people who just love the show, and you know, a lot of other things they don't want to see black and white, but for some reason, Twilight Zone black and white fits it perfectly. And of course, the visuals are astonishing. It's the best black and white photography ever done on television.
What was the name of the show that went to color after Twilight Zone that he did?
Night Gallery,
that's right.
Yeah, and it got some good episodes, but he didn't have the same control over it. He was very unhappy, but it's, you know, but still, there's some jewels amongst the lesser efforts on that show. The batting average on Twilight Zone was much higher.
And you met your buddy Billy Mumy, didn't you, when he was a kid?
Yes, I was homesick one day, and I was a fan of Lost in Space, and I pulled out the big phone directory, the white pages, which they don't have anymore. And I called the stars of Lost in Space, and mostly it was just people with the same names. But Billy's dad was in that phone book. So I called, and Billy's mom answered. I said, "Is Billy there?" And he came to the phone. And, you know, as soon as I was over the cold, I was staying home with a cold in my pajamas and 7 years old. And but as soon as I was well, my mom took me to his house, and we traded comic books. And then, of course, I interviewed him when we did the Twilight Zone Companion, and I worked with him when I wrote the Babylon 5, and I cast him in Space Command. And it's just, you know, being able to take this journey together over all these years has been just really an honor and an enormous fun.
What's his role in Space Command?
He plays a character named Greg Mazzi. He's sort of like a combination of Elon Musk and Steve Jobs. He creates these artificial humans that he views as machines, and ultimately, one of them, played by Doug Jones of Star Trek Discovery, rebels, and he becomes basically the Spartacus of the androids and leads a rebellion. But ultimately, Greg Mazzi sees sort of the error of his ways, and he continues throughout the show as a character who has many adventures and is really quite lovable in his sort of flinty, brilliant way. So it's really, really fun.
And, how many episodes of Space Command have you done now?
So far, we just finished shooting the sixth hour of the 12-hour season, but we now have all the sets, all the costumes, all the props we need to shoot the rest of the season. So now, you know, we're just ongoingly raising money, and now we're starting to talk to the distributors. Now that the strike is over, I can actually take the show out and, you know, and talk to the buyers. And but meantime, I can show it on Mr. Sci-Fi. I can sell the Blu-rays and DVDs, you know, all of that stuff. And for the sixth hour, we just finished the rough cut of it, and it's really fun. It's really got wonderful sequences. They're giant robots and, you know, 8-foot-tall aliens and alien spaceship sets, and it's everything a kid could want.
And you always wanted to do it with private funding. Why did you want to go after the networks or bigger venues for that?
Well, yeah, because I've written for all the major studios and networks, hundreds of hours of TV. And, you know, and I've been very lucky. I've gotten a lot of work done that I really am very proud of that via that route. But with this, I didn't want to take the risk that they would cut me off at script or cut me off at pilot or give me notes that I would have to listen to because they were writing the checks and those notes might ruin the show. So I never raised money before, but I because I mentor all these young people, they were talking about crowdfunding and Kickstarter. I said, well, let's try it. And our first campaign, our target was $75,000 to raise in 2 months. We raised that in 3 days. And ultimately in that campaign, we raised $221,000.
My God.
So I've raised about half the money from crowdfunding. In fact, we're about to start a crowdfunding campaign in the next couple of weeks for the box set, to finish the box set, the first 6 hours of Space Command. But I've also been selling investment shares for $7,500 each, and people from all around the world have stepped up to buy shares and help get this vision made. And if the show sells to a buyer, they'll get a return on investment. But that's not really why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want something hopeful. They want something that's about honor and bravery and empathy. And I always talk about active empathy, active compassion. It's not enough to just look across the street and see some like guy who's like down on his luck and say, oh, that poor man, and walk on. You have to take action for compassion to be worth having. You know, it's not enough just to feel bad that someone's suffering. You have to do something about it. And that's where it's not a political issue at all. It should come from a good heart. And there are people with good hearts on every part of the spectrum. You know, I don't need to get into political arguments with people. I'd rather, you know, say we all want a good future for our kids. We all want, you know, people to not be suffering. We all want, you know, everyone to get a square break, you know. So there's things we can all agree on.
And it's kind of cool for people to say, I own part of that film.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, our investors are welcome to come on the set. We'll put them in a spacesuit and put them on camera. we invite them to Comic-Con. We get them in on Comic-Con and take them to a nice meal. And they're always welcome to be part of whatever we're doing. And it's funny because when I went to the Star Trek set when I was a kid and sat in the captain's chair and stood on the transporter and all of those things, it was just such a magical world. And now when I step onto my own spaceship sets, we've got three sound stages now, two small ones and a big one, and, 30 spacesuits, you know, all this stuff. And it's just so amazing. It's magical. And so when I bring people to the studio and see their eyes light up, it's just, it's really, really a thrill.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.